was here. If she wasn't, we'd be in. Oh. Okay, you'll wipe that out. Okay.
You know, behind two successful men is always at least one successful woman.
That's true. That's true.
That's right.
All right, here we go. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. It's Feltus and Kale on a Thursday. It is a delight to have you along with us. And in this hour of Feltus and Kale, we are going to be exploring dairy with Amy Hall from the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And Dan, an Iowa native, you have to have some familiarity before you even came to New Hampshire about farms and maybe even the world of dairy.
Absolutely. And look, I love cheese. Everybody loves cheese. Here in New Hampshire, we have just a tremendous set of dairy farmers, small business owners, family farms. And it's critical to our economy. It's critical to agritourism. It's critical to our local food supply. So looking forward to talking with Amy about all the issues facing the dairy supply and dairy farmers here in New Hampshire, especially in light of COVID.
All right. And Amy is standing by. We will chat with Amy Hall of the Granite State Dairy Promotion right after these important messages here on 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Our guest is Amy Hall, who is the executive director of the Granite State Dairy Promotion. Mealtime is milk time, by the way. Amy, do you still use that, Amy?
I do still use it, Ken, and we actually have that logo still on our dairy pickup truck, and you get all of the credit for that.
Well, you're really milking it for all it's worth.
Oh, that's that Democratic humor coming to the forefront here from Dan Feltus. Amy Hall, executive director of the Granite State Dairy Promotion. First of all, tell us what the Granite State Dairy Promotion is and does.
Sure. Well, Granite State Dairy Promotion, we're actually a nonprofit organization, and we are funded solely 100% by New Hampshire dairy farmers, New Hampshire dairy producers. So we are charged with increasing the sale and the use of milk and other dairy products. We do this through promotional activities, nutrition education. We work hard to overall enhance the image of the dairy industry here in New Hampshire. And while it is a very positive image, we're seeing the public generally sort of slip away from the understanding and the things that Dan mentioned in the kickoff of the program in terms of the true value that our dairy producers offer. So to simplify this even further, if you think about the Got Milk campaigns, the milk mustaches, mm-hmm. that's basically who we are right here in New Hampshire. So we take that national model, and you know me, Ken, I put a little bit of the Amy Hall twist on it.
Yes,
you do.
We make
it unique. We make it special, and we're proud of that.
As you should be, Amy. And you know, even though you were still a very young woman, certainly by my standards, you've been with the Granite State Dairy Promotion for quite some time now.
I have. It will be 13 years in October. I always look forward because I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. I love this industry. I love my producers, and it's something that I'm very, very passionate about. So I feel blessed to be able to work for some of the most humbling, gracious, hardest working people on the face of the earth, never mind our state.
Well, no doubt, a lot of great people and just innovative, they work hard, great small business owners. And Amy, talk a little bit about how dairy farming, that value to our economy, agritourism, the value to our food supply, including when there's an ice storm, the value of our local dairy producers.
Sure. Those are all great questions, Dan. Let me start first with sort of some information about the economic impact that our residents may not know. So just in terms of wages, dairy farming here in New Hampshire is $572 million. That's just in wages. We contribute 3% of the U.S. GDP, 2.1% of the New Hampshire GDP contributions. They contribute $1.32 million in federal tax contributions, $61.3 million in state tax contribution. And overall, when you factor in real estate, you factor in lumber, you factor in every other ancillary business that dairy touches, they have here in New Hampshire an overall $1.8 billion total economic impact right here in the state.
Wow, that's an amazing figure. It truly is. And, you know, you said you've been there 13 years, and certainly the dairy industry in New Hampshire has changed over those last 13 years.
Well, it most certainly has. And, you know, when I started this job 13 years ago, we had, you know, 183 dairy producers. And even then, that was a low number in relation to our other New England states. Connecticut and Rhode Island decide they have smaller industries. As we've moved on, as the economy changes, as the landscape changes, the price systems and how dairy producers are paid, we are now down today in New Hampshire to under 100 family-owned dairy producers. And unfortunately, that's a really difficult reality for the public to face and for the public to understand. And it's devastating, but our dairy farmers who do remain and the ones who stay in business, they're fighters, they're survivors, they make constant innovations, they make constant changes to their operations, soil management, feed management, cow care, to make sure that they are taking an awfully slim margin, which has always been the case in the dairy industry, very slim margins, to something that hopefully they can break even on. And yes, I said hopefully break even.
Right, and we saw that, Amy, back when that severe drought a few years back, the impact, and I had the honor and privilege of serving, as you know, in the state Senate, on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, worked on the bipartisan relief effort to help our dairy producers get through that. It's probably wasn't enough. And also we saw and continue to see, it'd be great to get an update from you about the price differentials and the support differentials when federal government policy for small dairy producers like we have in the Northeast versus some of these big ones like in Wisconsin and in Minnesota, and how that kind of policy at the federal level disproportionately in some cases negatively impacts New Hampshire dairy producers.
Sure, sure. All great discussion topics. And thank you, Dan, by the way, that drought was 2016, and we saw a lot of our dairy producers get wiped out. So any amount of relief that was provided to them is certainly appreciated. And it did keep some of our larger farms afloat. And when I say larger farms, I mean 300-cow dairies. So that's very small in perspective to the larger farms that you mentioned outside of New England. Now, here in New England, it's all based on federal marketing orders, how milk is priced.
Right.
So if you're a dairy producer in California, if you're a dairy producer in Wisconsin or Florida, the way that you're paid is different than the way that you're paid here in New England. It's all based on the market that you serve. So here in New Hampshire, one of our largest customers in New England in general is actually the Boston School District. So a lot of the milk that comes out of the Hood plant right here in Concord, New Hampshire, goes to our massive cities like Boston to supply New England and schools with their milk. So that's the pricing that our market is based off of. Now, when you think about other markets like Wisconsin and California, California sort of has an edge on population, right? So they're priced differently. Wisconsin is priced differently just because they're in a position to be able to pump out a lot of milk.
Yep.
And when I say a lot of milk, I mean finished milk, which is a real danger here, Dan, in New Hampshire. And it's one of the reasons that we're seeing a lot of our producers go out of business, pricing aside, is that the biggest threat that our producers face right now, not only in New Hampshire, but New England in general, is finished milk coming into our state.
Yep.
So I can't call out any particular brands because that wouldn't be fair. They're shipping in milk that does not come from New Hampshire or New England at all. And when that milk is on our grocery store shelves, you're actually feeding an entirely different milk market. You're feeding an entirely different population and state of dairy producers, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but my goal is to support my local farms, certainly not keeping California farms in business.
Absolutely. And those local farms are critical, critical for so many reasons that you've outlined, Amy. In addition, you know, that supply chain gets disrupted, out-of-state milk, when there's an ice storm, when there's a pandemic, and local dairy producers are so critical to the supply chain of milk. Can you talk a little bit about that and a little bit about what you've seen in terms of that throughout the pandemic?
Sure. The pandemic, as with everything, impacted our dairy producers in ways that have never been seen before. And I'm not taking their industry and making it special in the aspect that it didn't affect every industry around us. The thing I would like to, you know, remind us all is that if there's one thing we all have in common, despite political differences, despite whatever the hot topic of the day is, we all have to eat. So we all need to value our farmers. And what happened was that before the pandemic struck, Dan, milk prices were actually beginning to recover after five straight years of dismal pricing. Our farmers were taking losses. So even a good year, as discussed, margins are appallingly tight in the industry. But looking at a mediocre margin coming into 2020 was much better than looking at zero margin or negative margin. So everything shut down, Dan, from transportation to, you know, we all know, we don't need to go through the list of everything that was impacted here, but specifically for our dairy producers, everything dried up overnight. Schools, restaurants,
right.
coffee shops, the bottom completely dropped out. Now you add that in terms of the dairy industry too, we can't leave out imports and exports. Exports mm-hmm. being one of the most important things. We are actually seeing our exports at a 15 to 17% rise, which is one of the highest that we've seen, which was making the forecast coming into 2020
look
very, very good. So what happens is cows, you can't turn cows off, right? They have to keep milking cows. You can't, it's cruel. The milk keeps coming. So the problem is that when the markets closed down and the bottom fell out, there was nowhere for this milk to go. And milk was actually being dumped. Our processors were overwhelmed. There was nowhere for that milk heading into the Boston School District to go. Now you right. add in grocery stores, Dan. Grocery stores were putting limits on the amount of milk people could purchase.
Right.
And if you can imagine that frustration when you see milk getting dumped, and, you know, I'm here and my dairy producers are here pulling our hair out thinking there's so much milk, please stop limiting it. It was just an all-around disaster.
Yeah.
Why was the limit put on milk at the outset of the pandemic, Amy?
Well, you know, I think what happened here is that it was a very touchy time for everybody. We were going through the toilet paper shortage, the great toilet paper shortage of 2020. And there was a lot of hoarding going on. And I think the fear from our retailers was that they wanted to prevent that from happening on the food front. And there was a lot of supply chain disruption, of course, as Dan mentioned, that came into play here. And obviously, as with all things, grocery stores only have so much room to store so much product, especially if it's product that is going to expire or needs refrigeration. So there was also that. If you have a worry about hoarding, or if you have somebody coming in who is hoarding, or masses of people who are coming in hoarding, there's only so much you can store to restock shelves with. There's only so much that our processors can deliver in one day on their typical routes. So there was a lot of frustration here, and a lot of sleepless nights, lot of dairy producers that, you know, it was a tough time, and I think we can all relate to that. And it's difficult when some of, you know, these strong, tough farmers, you know, sort of that image you have in your brain, you know, they'd call me and say things like, "Amy, we're scared." And that's not something that you typically hear from a dairy producer, that they're scared. So that really hit hard.
Amy Hall is with us. She is the executive director of the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And today, ironically enough, this Thursday, February 25th, is Let's All Eat Right Day. And if you don't have milk in your diet, Amy, I think you would agree with me that you're not eating right.
Of course I would agree with you. Absolutely.
But I think it's ironic that we're doing the show on that day. Let's All Eat Right Day. And, you know, there have been so much more, I guess you have to face facts and reality, that there's a lot more competition these days in the quote-unquote milk business than there were a number of years ago.
Sure, sure. And you know, that's another component that leads to a steady decline of dairy producers and local farms. And that is of concern. Dairy milk, dairy products, real milk, cow's milk, I think you know where I'm going with this. I'll keep the sarcasm aside here, right, Ken? Is so quintessential to a healthy diet and good health. Now, I want to be clear, and I always say this on any radio show that I do, is that I'm not here to push gallons of milk at people. You don't need to drink a gallon of milk a day. You don't need to eat whole blocks of cheese a day, which sometimes I'm guilty of, as I think
me
we
too.
All are.
Yeah.
It's just a very simple part of nutrition, in that 3 8-ounce glasses of milk in a day is the recommended serving from the USDA in terms of a well-rounded, healthy diet. So when I am on the radio, I like to express that just that amount, just that small amount, contributes 9 vital nutrients and vitamins to your diet. And it does so naturally. And I think where my frustration comes in, especially when it's Eat Right Day, we're seeing a return to, we want our whole natural foods back. We want to know where they're coming from, that they're processed naturally, that they're clean, right? And to me, my mind gets boggled when I pick up a gallon of milk off the shelf and I look at the clean ingredients and what occurs naturally. And then I pick up one of our competitive milk beverages and I look at those ingredients and I think to myself, this is not clean food. This is loaded with, you know, sodium and guar gum and thickeners and, you know, supplements, all to be able to mimic and compete with what cow's milk naturally provides without having to add sodium thickeners. And the list that can be up to 12 ingredients long that non-dairy milks contain.
Well, certainly, you know, buying locally, buying milk locally is something I think a lot of our listeners are probably interested in. I know we worked on at the State House a labeling initiative. What's the status of the labeling initiative to make sure that when folks walk into a grocery store, if they want to buy locally, if they want to support local New Hampshire dairy farmers and producers, what do they look for and what's the status of that?
Well, Dan, I'll have to tread very carefully here.
Okay.
The New Hampshire Zone program,
yep,
which had started to grow legs and a little bit of steam prior to the pandemic, was looking good. We had some hurdles from different industries that seemed to be very resistant to wanting to participate in this.
Yeah, I remember.
Now,
yep,
there's a lot of questions as to why that was. I have a lot of theories, which I'm 1,000% certain are probably true, which is where I have to tread very lightly. But when the pandemic hit, you know, that all got put on the back burner. But what that doesn't change, is people's commitment to wanting to help our local dairy producers. And I love every single one of my producers. You can go to a single farm and purchase their milk, or off a shelf, you can support that one farm. I high-five you. I love you for that, and I appreciate that. But what I would encourage people to remember is that if we spend all of our time and energy into supporting just that one singular farm, what of the other 85, of the other 90? All of our dairy producers here in New Hampshire that contribute the billion to our economies are just as important. So the New Hampshire's own program, which was very exciting, it was not a tax. It was very much a free market program, yep, wherein a consumer could walk into the grocery store, look for that New Hampshire's own label, and they would have a choice at that point. Do I want to pay an extra 50 cents for this gallon of milk if I know for sure that that extra 50 cents is going to go back to a local New Hampshire dairy producer and help them to succeed or have even the smallest amount of profit so they can stay in business? Now, to us, it seems like a no-brainer. Unfortunately, we were met with quite a bit of resistance, which is still a mystery to us today. But where are we now, Dan? In my opinion, I'm at the point where I don't want to stop fighting for this until it's done. But then you have larger powers that be that, you know, they have a lot more influence than this one woman, show that is charged, quite frankly, with trying to keep these dairy producers in business. So it's overwhelming. I would like nothing more than to see this come all the way around to home plate. I'm not sure it's going to happen at this point without a tremendous amount of public support.
Well, if you're listening out there, I mean, please support this initiative, and, you know, please weigh in with your legislator. Please weigh in with the Commissioner of Agriculture. I mean, this was a bipartisan initiative, this labeling initiative. Distressed to hear that it isn't fully taken off. But if you are out there and you prioritize shopping locally, local dairy producers, local dairy farms, like the Feltus household, Iris and Josie, our two daughters, in particular, love our local milk here from New Hampshire. If you're out there listening, Amy, what would you advise people to in terms of their research, in terms of their milk, if they're going to the grocery store, how would you advise them to go about that to make sure that they really shop locally?
Okay. Well, the brands that people can feel confident about when they are in a grocery store is Hood. Hood is a local brand. It's right here in Concord. So the tanker trucks that you see on 93 anywhere in New Hampshire, the chances are they're going to the Hood plant in Concord. So look for Hood. Market Basket brand milk is bottled by Hood, so that is also New Hampshire milk. The next brands might shock people. Oakhurst. A lot of people, you know, take Oakhurst and they associate it with Maine. No, there's New Hampshire milk in there as well. Gorelick also contains New Hampshire milk. Shaw's has some New Hampshire milk in it. Cabot, half of the dairy producers right here in New Hampshire send their milk to Cabot. So milk is basically a regional system. And if you were to picture New England as, you know, just one state, we'd be the size of Texas, right? So it's important that we understand that milk is a blended product. And just because there's a river that happens to separate us, you know, New Hampshire from Vermont, it doesn't make that milk any less local. And that's why it's important that we understand in the grocery store that, yes, that milk you're picking up comes from that family farm right down the road. Perfect example. I'm going to use Morrill Farm Dairy in Penacook, New Hampshire.
Yep.
Their milk travels less than 5 miles from the farm to the Hood plant. You know, it's in a bottle and on your shelf within 48 hours. Same with Highway View Farm. You know, theirs travels 8 miles to the Hood plant. So it is very much a local product that people can feel confident supporting those brands. And in terms of New Hampshire's own, Dan, I just want to rewind back to that for a bit. Commissioner Jasper, he did such a wonderful job fighting for putting that program together. Dairy and the point that you make is a bipartisan issue, and it is such an honor to know that every single legislature, to circle back to what I said previously, understands that if there's one thing we all have in common, it's that we all need to eat, And it's very humbling to know that, you know, Republicans and Democrats all band together to help support our dairy producers when they're needed most. So thank you for that.
No doubt about it.
So, Dan, when you go into the grocery store and buy your blocks of cheese and buy your cabbage cheese, you know that you're also helping New Hampshire dairy farmers as well.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Amy, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with Amy Hall, who's the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, 1039 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. It is Kale and Feltus? No, it's not. It's Feltus and Kale and Hall. Sometimes it just slips out the wrong way, Dan.
Hey, guys, Ken, before you kick in again, Dan, one thing Ken will tell you about me is I am a rambler. I will talk and talk and talk. So feel free to say, hey, stop.
This has been great. This has been wonderful.
A lot of great information, Amy. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how at the outset of the pandemic back in March, dairy producers, dairy farmers were certainly impacted by that. Over the past year, things have gotten better?
Things are looking up. I will say that. Milk prices are still going to be low. We won't see a happy forecast like we did before the pandemic hit. Like I said previously, 2020 was looking to be a good year where our dairy producers wouldn't lose money. They wouldn't break even. They would actually see a little bit of a profit that they could pay off the debt that was built up in the previous 5 years. Schools are still not back full time. Some restaurants have closed. Some colleges, these commercial markets, are still not back at 100% capacity. So people cannot, and I encourage people, do not relax into the idea that, okay, our dairy industry is, they're in good shape now. They're not struggling anymore. They did receive CARES Act funding, which, again, another huge bipartisan show of support, which went a really long way toward relieving them of some of the burden and some of the markets that did shut down. Is the forecast better than it was? It is better because we are seeing institutions slowly open up again. But I would encourage people, please do not relax into the idea that our dairy producers can be or should be taken for granted. We've done that for far too long, I think. I think we drive by a dairy farm and we take for granted what those people do. I think a lot of people don't understand where that milk goes. They don't understand how dairy works in general. But what they can understand and what is tangible to the public is that in terms of landscape, in terms of ecological impact, noise reduction, prevention of soil erosion, wildlife habitat, open, you know, to snowmobilers, cross-country skiers, hunters, you name it, dairy is much more than milk. And I want people to really, really absorb that information. If you think back, Jesus, even when I was a girl, I remember south of the tolls, there were still dairy farms. Now you drive around and, you know, dairy farms are abandoned and you see development has popped up. You see condominiums where there were once cows and green grass and rolling hills. And I really, really don't want to see that continue. And with less than 100 dairy farms left in New Hampshire, that's why it's very, very important to get that New Hampshire's Own program up and running and rolling, get some legs back under it, and, you know, hopefully Commissioner Jasper, who, you know, worked incredibly hard to get that going. You know, he was also impacted in terms of distributing the CARES Act funding to not only dairy but agriculture in general. But I think now is the time where we say, okay, let's get back at it. Let's get back at the fight.
So at its peak, Amy, how many dairy farms were there in the state?
In 1970, there were over 850.
Wow.
Today, it's anywhere between 95 and 98 because it does fluctuate. I don't like to put a solid number on it, anywhere between 95 and 98. So it's a devastating loss, and I don't want to say it's going to continue. I will say that, you know, unless we stitch this up instead of continuously band-aiding it when there is an issue, it will continue in a slow trickle and a slower loss, and we'll start to see more and more of that finished milk coming into our state that our dairy producers never had a hand in, that their cows never touched, that they never touched or never reached a New Hampshire processing plant. So it's a big cycle here.
Yeah, no question about that. And it is amazing to me when I go into a grocery store, which is quite frequent, to see just really in the overall scheme of things how inexpensive milk is. And as you say, the margin of profit is very slim. And as you pointed out, most dairy farmers are just looking to break even with their milk.
Correct. And, you know, milk is priced on the farm. Dairy producers are paid based on every 100 pounds of milk they produce.
Okay. Yep.
So the price has been languishing for years around $16 per hundredweight. So $16 for every 100 pounds of milk that comes off a farm. It's significantly below the cost of production for our New Hampshire dairy farmers or dairy farmers in the East in general. The cost of production is anywhere here in New England between $19 and $21, depending on what that farm operation is. So to put that into perspective for people, our dairy producers have been taking significant losses for well over 5 years. So it's a disturbing reality, but the news here is that dairy producers, dairy farmers, and the industry as a whole, they are forever optimists. They will forever fight. It is extremely important to them, often at their own detriment, that they continue to be a hub in our community. They take pride in the fact that when you and your family sit down to dinner, that food they had a hand in.
Yep.
And it's something that they're proud of. It's in their heart. It's in their blood. And that's what any dairy producer that you will ever speak with will tell you. It's just in your blood. It's just what you do. So whether they take a loss, whether they break even, or make the smallest amount of profit, they're fighters, and they hang in there for as long as they possibly can.
What do milk producers get in terms of federal aid?
You know, it really depends on the situation. It could be, you know, in terms of the pandemic, of course, there was the CARES Act funding. We had the PPP program. The USDA will kick in sometimes to purchase bulk cheese, bulk milk, dry milk, in order to donate that to food banks who are desperately in need. So there are so many different federal programs, but here in New England, there really aren't that many. And I get very, very frustrated when I hear people say, oh, dairy farmers are constantly bailed out by the federal government. Well, if that were the case, we wouldn't be losing dairy farmers at the rate that we're losing dairy producers and dairy farmers. They're a humble group of individuals. They're not the type that like to be in a spotlight. They're not the type that like to be highlighted as, you know, people who struggle or people who need or people who want. It's just who they are. You know, it's the heart and soul of being a dairy producer. In terms of what they're receiving from federal government, it is slim to none in most cases. Outside of New England, that could be a very different scenario. I'm not 100% sure what that might look like to the likes of California, to the likes of Wisconsin or Michigan or Texas even.
Well, certainly they're a critical component of New Hampshire, whether it's 95 of them or 98 of them, depending on how you define them, Amy, they're critical. And you talked at length about the economic value, the value to our food supply, the value to our communities, the value to just being New Hampshire. And talk a little bit about agritourism as well and some of the, you know, dual and tri purposes of some of these local farms?
Our producers are so amazing, Jan, and I'm glad you asked that question. It really is. Dairy is more than just milk, and that's one of my new key phrases. You know, we have Maple Weekend coming up, and there are a lot of dairy producers out there who also produce their own maple products. They will be opening their farms for the public to come in and enjoy the maple syrup that they produce. We have, you know, down in Westmoreland, New Hampshire, Stuart and John's Sugar House. They make their own maple syrup. They own their own restaurant. They scoop their own ice cream, but they're also a dairy farm family. So diversification on these farms and their ability to think strategically in terms of business is consistently impressive to me. And their craving for survival, their everlasting love of what can we do that's better? How can we continue to serve our communities while staying in business is mind-blowing. And I'm not sure I could do that, quite frankly. They impress me every single day. So the diversification there, whether it be cheese, whether it be maple, whether it be beef, flour, beer now, you know, Morrill Farm Dairy, they're growing hops and selling it to Henniker Brewing.
Yep.
So dairy and beer, who knew? But this is just how innovative and creative our dairy producers are, and it just goes to further shine a light on their value.
They are a very clever and diversified lot. There's no question about that. And you know, they have to come up with ways if they want to maintain their farm. Milk is not making the money for them, obviously, so they have to diversify. And some of them have done it very, very, very well over the years.
You're absolutely right. And what a lot of people also don't realize is that, you know, more than 50% of our dairy producers here have one individual in the family who works full-time off of the farm. So that income is often sucked back into the dairy business in order to keep them afloat and to keep them running. So it's a very interesting business model, and it is certainly not a business model that I promise you probably, you know, every 90 out of 100 people could handle for more than 2 weeks. It is an unforgiving, back-breaking labor of love for them. But yet they continue because their family, their neighbors, their community are that important.
No question about it. So, Amy Hall, you are the executive director of the Granite State Dairy Promotion. What do you do on a daily basis to promote milk and dairy in the state of New Hampshire?
Well, you know, kind of it varies depending on situation and where I am in terms of project management and what project I move on to next. So radio, clearly, that's a big part of my job and what I do. Of course, you're familiar with the New Hampshire Ice Cream Trail, you know, which sort of touches on Dan's question about travel and tourism. We pull people all over the state to hit, you know, various different mom and pop ice cream shops, you know, from Pittsburgh to Nashua, you name it. Brings them through dairy fields. It brings them, you know, in terms of tourism, to places they never would have been before in the state. So that's something that I work on, and in fact, I'm working on it right now. There's that. There's social media. There are nutrition banquets. There is 4-H involvement. There is our partnership with Millennium Running, where you'll see us at the finish line handing out chocolate milk, which is a world-renowned, proven 20 times over by different scientific studies to be the best sports recovery beverage on planet Earth.
There you go.
Then you have, you know, my partnership with the NHIAA. And I work with student athletes. I work with athletic directors, again, to promote, you know, the healthy benefits of chocolate milk after, you know, a hard game, hard practice, a hard workout. So my job is exciting. My job is different. And every single day, I don't know what's going to come at me, but I wake up and I greet it with a smile, that's for sure.
Well, I know you do. You always have taken a positive approach over the years. And you know, the ice cream trail now has become legendary. And when does it get started this year?
Well, right now, actually, shops are signing up at this very moment. The deadline to be listed on the map is Friday, the 26th. Which I believe is tomorrow. So get in there. If you're hearing this, you've got one day left. You can, you know, send me a private message on Facebook or Instagram, Granite State Dairy Promotion at NH Dairy. Make sure you're following us. And it's such a unique thing. And we were the first in the nation, and I am so proud of that. We've been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, USA Today, the World Travel Leader. It was just something that when you think of it, it doesn't strike you as so extraordinary. But then when you figure out, boy, we were the first in the nation to do this, and every other yep. state now is sort of following suit, you know, that's a really cool thing. And it goes back to how committed our dairy producers are to their community. It's important to them, too, to look at these ice cream shops that are family-owned, that use their product, and say, we want to support them, too.
Right,
we want
right.
to support travel and tourism. We just don't want to talk about the dollars we throw into it. You know, great, there's open farmlands. We produce dollars, wildlife, everything that we've already discussed. But you know what? It's more than that to us. We also want to support other businesses, too.
And who doesn't like ice cream, Ken?
Well, I certainly do. And the ice cream trail, what year is this for the ice cream trail, Amy?
We're going into year 12.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
That's a lot of ice cream.
That's yeah. And it gets bigger every year, right? The number of shops involved?
Well, you know, it varies. This year we're a little low, but I do believe that that's a little bit to do with the pandemic. People
yeah.
are hesitant. I will say this, though, in 2020, we received a record number of returned passports.
That is something. It
really is a record number of letters that came back in with the trail maps of thanks, of appreciation, saying things like, you know, we never would have done this. We never would have gotten in a car and taken a road trip as a family. We never would have gone to Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. And it was a beautiful time. And we created so many memories, and we visited so many, you know, small business owners that we were proud to support. So thank you.
Well, the ice cream trail is just not simply to the freezer in the kitchen, Ken. It's around the state, and yeah. you have an opportunity to visit these amazing local businesses and support our ice cream shops and support the dairy producers. And hopefully, you know, that we can get to a point where that can be full-fledged once again.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm really shocked by the fact that so many passports were returned last year in particular when, you know, a lot of people weren't going anywhere. But
exactly.
obviously,
yep.
they still craved ice cream. So that's the important thing right there.
They absolutely did. And I just want to say to people who did participate in the ice cream trail or, you know, did hit every single one of the 37 shops we had in 2020, you know, thank you for your patience and your kindness. I have a close relationship with each and every one of these ice cream shops. I have to. They're important to me. They're valuable to me. You know, no farms, no ice cream, right? That's the phrase here. And they expressed to me the appreciation for the folks who showed up and were respectful and kind and abided by rules and guidelines. So overall, it was a good year for ice cream, and I think that's something to be pretty happy about.
Amy, is there a website people can go to learn more about the ice cream trail, about everything that you do, about our dairy farmers? There might be multiple websites, but what could you point our listeners to?
Absolutely. Our website is nhdairypromo.org. Follow us on Instagram. We are at nhdairy, and then we're Granite State Dairy Promotion on Facebook. We're very active on social media, particularly Instagram, so feel free to head over there and follow us. And our website is loaded with a lot of great information in terms of economic impact, all of the things that we discussed today, acreage, farm labor. And if you have any questions, of course, please feel free to reach out, email me, private message me, give me a call. I'm always happy to answer questions.
Amy Hall, we're glad you're still active on the radio. We appreciate that, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You as well. Amy Hall, the Executive Director of Granite State Dairy Promotion. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. And Dan, that just about brings us to the end of another edition of Feltus and Kale. I got it right that time. I got it right.
Got it right.
I got it right. And lots of great information from Amy.
It was great. It was wonderful to have an Amy on. And she does so much for our local businesses, our dairy producers, dairy farmers, our ice cream shops, really promoting New Hampshire in so many different ways. So really appreciate all that Amy does, especially now in these trying times. And, you know, hopefully that ice cream trail is buzzing coming up here.
Oh, it will be. No doubt about that. For Dan Feltus, I'm Ken Kale. Join us next time on Feltus and Kale.